I bring you greetings from the saints in Patmos Prayer House, Coimbatore, and from the surrounding branch assemblies. I remember vividly our visits to Thornlands Christian Assembly in Brisbane, and we all cherish the memories of our visit to Thornlands Christian Assembly. I consider it as a great privilege to share the God's Word this day morning in the Sunday worship. Today I request you to kindly turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, and we will read verse 9 and verse 10. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, eternal God, Father of the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you. Thank you for the great privilege of knowing the true and living God, the eternal one, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of the whole universe, and you have created us, and we worship you, dear Lord. We thank you that thou hast revealed thyself in and through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world 2,000 years ago to live for us and to die for us and to be crucified for us, taking all our sins and shame and curse upon you. We thank you, thou art buried, thou art resurrected, thou art ascended, and thou art seated on the right hand of God, and thou art interceding for us. So, dear Lord, we praise you, worship you. Now, dear Lord, thank you for thy precious word and the deep truths which are hidden in thy word. Even as we look into thy word, pray that thou wilt speak to us. The Holy Spirit may control my thoughts and my words. Pray that the words may bring edification to the church. All what I speak should be the thoughts of the Lord and the words of the Lord. We bind all powers of darkness in the name of Jesus Christ, and we claim victory. By faith we stand on the victory stand of the resurrected Lord. We thank you for thy precious word. Thank you for thy church. Thank you for the church in Thornlands Christian Assembly, Brisbane. And thank you for the believers who are gathering there. Thank you for the elders of the church, and thank you for the way thou hast been blessing the church over the years. Thank you for the new believers who have been added recently, dear Lord, who have come from other countries to Brisbane. We thank you for them. Bless them abundantly. Have mercy. We pray in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. In the word which we have read in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, Apostle says, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of God is there. All the fullness of Godhead bodily dwells in Him. And verse 10 says, this fullness, this completeness which the Lord Jesus Christ has, He is willing to transfer it to us. That is where we are interested, that we are able to get the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. What a great thing it is. You know, we know who we are. We are born in sin, brought up in sin, have been living in sin. Such people, not only that we are saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, by repenting and by justifying by the Lord and making us thy children, but thou wants to share thy fullness, thy completeness with us who are so unworthy. We do not deserve anything that from God, like the fullness of God. But God wants to share with us. Now, for a short time, we are going to meditate this, the fullness of God, and also how we can obtain this fullness in our life. God eternal is perfect. He is absolute. And all the attributes of God is in Jesus Christ. So the fullness of God is in Jesus Christ. And the Lord wants to share this fullness with us. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was in this world, he said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." So that was God's desire, that we may be perfect like the Father in heaven. Now, I would say, when we are in Him, when we are in Jesus Christ, potentially all the fullness of God is in us, and we are complete in Him potentially. But this has to be appropriated. This has to be worked out in our day-to-day life, and then we will be able to enjoy the fullness of God in our life. Now the Word of God says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." John chapter 1 verse 18. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ revealed His fullness to us. So by knowing Jesus Christ, by understanding the Word of God, we also will be able to attain this fullness. And this is the aspiration or the ambition of every believer, that he should attain the fullness of God, the fullness of Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our day-to-day walk, in our day-to-day life. And it will be a glorious life. So I have taken just a few verses, some thoughts, and I would like to share with you all how we can attain this fullness. First of all, by being part of a true church, we can attain this fullness. I will come back to it. Secondly, by acknowledging the headship and lordship of the Lord. Thirdly, by prayer, by spending time in the presence of the Lord. Fourthly, by getting His joy. In Him is the fullness of joy. Fifthly, by obtaining His glory. Sixthly, by knowing His love towards us. Seventhly, the same verse, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, we are complete in Him. So we are going to meditate these 7 points as the Lord leads. So kindly turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 15. We know once upon a time we were sinners. We know that we were born in sin and we were living in sin. But the truth of the gospel dawned in us. The Holy Spirit worked in us and we became, we realized our mistake or our sins, and we confessed our sins and we put our faith in Him. When we put our faith in Him, we became believers. And then we start worshipping the Lord along with other saints in the church. So we become part of the church of God. Now, we find in these verses which we have read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 15, that we believed in the Lord, we obeyed in waters of baptism, we were laid hands by the presbytery, and we became part of the church. These verses say that Lord has appointed fivefold offices or fivefold gifts have been given to the church. We know from these verses, verse 11 onwards, the Lord has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Now I would like to say that only by making use of all these gifts in the church, we will be able to grow to the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in subsequent verses in the same passage. We can grow into His fullness only if all these fivefold ministries are there in the church. Now I would like to compare, although I do not have much time to go in depth to the teachings regarding apostles and prophets and evangelists, but I would like to say, just for remembering, these gifts can be compared to the five fingers in the hand. I will say this finger that can be compared to the apostles, and this finger can be compared to the prophets, and this middle finger can be compared to evangelists, and this fourth finger to shepherds, and the last one to teachers. Now when we look at these fingers, we find this is very tall and very prominent. But evangelists are very famous, we know that. But for the evangelist to come and preach, there are so many people work. There are so many people labor, especially the missionaries, the apostles. They go, preach the gospel, identify with the people, labor among them, studying their languages, studying their cultures, identifying with the poor and the needy, sharing what they have with them. So much of labor goes into building the church. That is the work of the work of the missionaries or the apostles. Of course, this is a controversial subject. I don't want to enter into the controversy. There are some believers who believe that the apostles' period is over. But I don't believe that. I believe the gift of apostles are still there. Because there are two types of apostles. One, the apostles of the first century, like Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, Apostle John. You know, the difference between the apostles of that time and the apostles of today is this, that the apostles of the first century, they were very special people chosen by God, and to them the revelation of the mysteries of the kingdom of God is given. There are so many passages in the Word of God which says, God has revealed this mystery to me, Apostle says. The mysteries which has been hidden right from the creation of the world, that has been revealed through apostles and prophets. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 25 and 26, when we read, we find according to the commandment of the Lord that all nations should come into the knowledge of the truth and they have to come into the knowledge of the true and living God. So this has been revealed, and the apostles and the prophets, they have written it down in the epistles, and that is available to us today. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28, we find that in the church, first apostles, then prophets, then evangelists, then shepherds, then teachers. Now in some churches, they try to give more importance to the evangelists or to the prophets, ignoring the most important gift, that is the gift of the apostles. You see, in the hand also, you know, if you want to pick up something, you need this finger. More than other fingers, you can pick up something with one finger also, or two fingers also, or three fingers also. But this is common. So, apostles are the most important. Now, if you have to grow to the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, or if we have to achieve the fullness of God, fullness of Jesus Christ in our life, we have to make use of all these gifts in the church. If some gifts are ignored, then the growth will be stunted, or the growth will not be full. This is what I believe. That is why we have to be careful to honor or to respect or to keep each of these gifts, and those who are having these gifts be given the due importance in the scheme of things in the church, in a local church. Then only we will be able to grow into the fullness. Secondly, by acknowledging the headship and lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Headship of the Lord should be there in an individual believer. Headship of the Lord should be there in a family. The Lord should be the head of the local church. There are so many verses. Jesus Christ is our head. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19. We find the church in Colossae did not hold the head. That is why there were some problems of doctrine in the Colossian church. Because one of the things was they were not holding the head. Or in other words, the headship and lordship of the Lord has not been honored in the church. What does it mean? Honoring the head. I will say we need to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father, and obey His commandments, His statutes, His ordinances, whatever is revealed unto us as the commandments of the Lord in the New Testament. We have to come under the obedience of all the truth. Holding the head means in every matter we have to find out the perfect will of God. We have to refer back to Lord Jesus Christ in our individual life, in our family life. What is that you want us to do? What is thy will in my life? Whenever we take a major decision in our individual life, maybe regarding marriage, maybe regarding career, maybe regarding some other matter, starting a business or something, in every matter, we have to find out the perfect will of God. That means we have to honor the headship and lordship of the Lord. And the instruction should come from the head. Many times we have our own will. and we go to God and we pray, Lord, hear our prayer, do what I tell you. That is not the correct attitude. We have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what is thy will? What do you want me to do? Apostle Paul, when God called him, he asked two questions to the Lord. One was, who are you, Lord? The Lord revealed who he is. And in his life, he continued to reveal who he is. And all his life, he was in the pursuit of finding out who the Lord Jesus Christ. And his desire was that I may know him. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. That was his desire that I may know him. Second question which he asked the Lord was, what do you want me to do? He calls him Lord and asks him, Lord, what thou wants me to do? At that time, Lord did not reveal the full truth, but he just told him, go to this place, go and meet this man. And then something was revealed. All through his life and ministry, he was seeking to do the perfect will of God in his life. We also should always seek to do the perfect will of God in our life. Thirdly, by prayer. There are hundreds of verses in the Word, both in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament regarding prayer. In the book of Hebrews, we are asked to come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. We also find in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20 and other verses that we have God the liberty and the freedom, the boldness to enter the holiest of all. You know, in the Old Testament, holiest of all, or the sanctuary, the holiest of all was forbidden from all the priests. It was permitted only to the high priest, and that too once in a year. There was a big curtain, there was a big veil separating the sanctuary from the holiest of all. And once in a year, the high priest will enter the holiest of all. But on the day, at the time of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, the veil which was there in the temple was broken, symbolically opening the throne of grace unto us. What a great privilege that we are able to reach or attain the very presence of God. Thereby, we will be able to experience the fullness of God in our life. Fourthly, by getting his joy. Kindly turn with me to Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. By spending time in the presence of God, in worshipping, in beholding the face, as we read in Psalm 27 and verse 4, we'll be able to behold the face of the Lord and the glory of the Lord. The joy of the Lord flows into us. In his presence is fullness of joy. So when we come into the house of the Lord to worship, we behold his face and the glory comes into us. Apostle talks about this glory in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 7 to 18, Apostle Paul takes a comparison to the glory of the Lord which is transferred to us when we behold him. Verse 7 says about, there is a comparison. Actually, we find the verses run parallel. One, the glory which Moses had when he met him. I'll just refer a few points. Apostle says the ministration of Moses was of death. And he says that ministration of death was glorious. And how much more the ministration of life. Secondly, he says, there the law was written in stones, engraved in stones. Verse 3. Now the ministration in the New Testament is written in the fleshly tables of our heart. This is the difference between these two ministrations. At that time, the Ten Commandments was written by God, by the finger of God, in stones. And that ministration was glorious. But now, the law of the Lord is written in our minds, in the walls of our heart. And how much glorious it will be, or how glorious it is. Or in other words, by beholding his glory, by looking unto him, by receiving his glory, we will be able to get the glory of the Lord in our life. Verse 7 says, it is that glory was done away. Then the apostle says, if the glory that is to be done away itself was glorious, how much more the glory that remaineth, or the glory which we are having or we are getting. Fourthly, we find that ministration of condemnation, the Old Testament law and all the ministry of Moses was one of condemnation. Ultimately, it condemned the law, condemned the man. But here, it is ministration of righteousness. We find it, that phrase in verse 9. Ministration of righteousness. Then we find Moses put a veil because he could not behold the glory. That glory was so high that he had to put a veil. But now, this glory which has to be done by, he is replaced by the Lord Jesus Christ and the glory which he wants to give to us. When the Lord Jesus Christ was praying, what we find in John chapter 17 and verse 22, there he prays like this. This is part of his prayer in verse 22. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So he says, he tells the Father, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them. So this is how we get into his fullness. Sixthly, by knowing the love of Christ. Kindly turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 19 I read, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Fullness of God comes by one, strengthened by his spirit in the inner man. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16. Secondly, Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. And you may be rooted and grounded in love. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. May be able to comprehend the dimensions of the love of God and to know the love of Christ with all the saints. So by knowing the love of Christ, the length of the love of Jesus Christ, the breadth of it, the height of it, the depth of it, when we know this great love which the Lord Jesus Christ has bestowed upon us, then we will be able to reach the fullness of God. Have we experienced that love? Now, what a great love He has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. God commendeth His love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us. What great love He is bestowing upon us, bearing with all our infirmities, with all our failures, with all our limitations in our earthly life. The Lord is bearing with us. He is forgiving us, forgetting our failures, again reinstating us. What a great love it is. For our human mind, it is impossible to know the fullness of the love of Christ actually. But this verse says, with all the saints, you may be able to know the love of Christ. Then we will be filled with all the fullness of God. So this is our prayer. This should be our prayer. Lord, I may know little more about Thy love. That great love which You have manifested on the cross. And even now, Thou art loving us. The Bible says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. What great love He has bestowed upon us. And as we spend time with God, as we read God's word, as we taste His love, we will be able to get the fullness of God. Seventhly, we come back to the same verse, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10. We are complete or full in Him. The fullness or the completeness is in Him. That means, under the headship and lordship of the Lord, when we remain in the place where God has kept in the body, and when we function in the way God wants us to function in the body, then we will find the fullness flowing into us. So we have to be in Christ. We have to be part of the body of Jesus Christ. We have to be in Him. We have to search our hearts and see where we are in Him always. Or are we out of Him? That means, if we are not in the scheme of things of God regarding our life, we are not in Him. We have to search our hearts whether our direction of life is in accordance with the way God wants us to be. At a particular point of time, even as we interact and continue to live in Him, we have to see. This is my desire, this is our prayer, that even as the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is very near, we may be found in Him, in His fullness. I'll have a short prayer and close. Heavenly Father, Eternal God, thank you for the thoughts which you have given unto us. Thank you for the grace granted unto me to speak out these truths, dear Lord. Pray that it may do a deep work in us and put in us a great desire to be complete in Jesus Christ. We thank you. It pleased thee to give thy fullness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ in turn has given that fullness to us. It is up to us to claim this fullness from thee as we interact with thee. O dear Lord, have mercy upon us. Thank you for this time. We pray in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.